their worship. Play that for me, will you? Somebody ought to go into your worship. That worship is between you and God. Oh, one day we're going to leave this place, church. We're going home. We're going home one day. Come on, this is your worship period. It ain't for everybody, but it's for somebody. Come on, choir, pick that up for the church for me, will you? Bless your choir. Thank you so much. Thank the musicians for allowing the Spirit of God to have His own way. Father God, we thank you, God, for this preaching opportunity that you have given and the opportunity to hear your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, we honor you. We thank you, God. It's all about you, God. We take none of your glory because all of the glory is yours, God. But in Jesus' name, use me as an instrument, as a tool, God, that just want to be used. And I'm praying, God, that you would relinquish and release your power in this sanctuary. In Jesus' name, give us a double portion of your anointing. In Jesus' name, God, we pray that. Amen. I give all honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God for pastors and preachers that are here with us and the opportunity to have children's church. Everything is a blessing. Thank God for the Lord blessed Pastor Johnson to be able to pastor True Vine. And then I was texted by Pastor Stu Minda. Amen. Our friend over there, the preacher, they call him Reverend Bird, and is now was called on yesterday and across the river. I think it's Pilgrim Progress, something of that nature. Amen. That's it. Amen. So we thank God for what he is doing. And then we want to pray for Shallow, Pastor London's family, because God is calling home. We're not promised for tomorrow. But we thank God for today. I want to thank each and every last one of you and all your hard work, participation, and coming out and supporting our youth and young adult praise explosion. You wasn't here. You missed it. We had a good time in the Lord. Amen. We had fun. Our youth had fun. And I think that it's important that these things take place. For everybody have to have some church and singing on their spiritual level. Is that all right? And so, and all of the musicians and the artists that I talked to on yesterday had a really good time. And then even when I talked to Brian Courtney Wilson, we was talking about there was something that he had really never did before, and that he said he ministered to the young people because it touched his heart. And he said through all his concert days, he had never felt like he felt when he was here that night. And it took him off course, and he went into a couple of old hymns at the end. Y'all was here. Some of y'all was here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he said that because of some of the things he was going through, he was blessed by being at the regular Baptist church. I just wanted to share that with you. But we had a good time, and our young people got to meet and mingle and get autographs and take some pictures and things of that nature. And then when I talked to Mr. Anderson, he was telling me the things that is open for if we have children that did not graduate or in that area. He has a certified credentials from all of the states to do an online class so that whoever it is, they will be able to graduate not with a GED, but with a diploma from us. Come on, give God some praises. He says that everything that we have in our youth center, they will come old, and there will be instructors on the internet taking them all down the way. And then he even have some students that are have scholarships that is in Xavier and LSU right now, even as we speak. And so all of this that is offered to us, favor ain't fair. And so I give God praises for the network, spiritual network that God has given to us. Somebody ought to be able to give God some praises for that. Amen. So I thank God for that. I want to get into the word of God. I'm not going to keep you long, amen, so that you can get in and get ready. But I do thank you for everything that you have done for our youth and young adult. They had fun, and I had fun. And they asked me why I was hoarse. I said, I'm hollering because y'all hollering. And so, amen. And just because it was a lot of noise, God bless us. We have someone up in here. I say, can we have someone that can just take us back? That sister raise her hand. I said, no, wait now. I said, I want to make sure now. You can sing this song. You can take us all the way back. She raised her hand. I said, well, come on down. And oh, God, did she take us back? Was it, did y'all hear that? She sung that song. Amen. So we had youth and young adult praise explosion. But she took us back to grandma too. Amen. God bless you. We want to get in the word of God, and we won't keep you long. I want to go to a very familiar scripture, but I want you to walk with me a little bit. Go to Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 41. The Gospel of Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 41. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Y'all have that. On the screen. Mark chapter 1 verse 41 says, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. You may be seated. In the house of the Lord. I want to talk on the topic for a little bit of your time. Touch the untouchable. Touch the untouchable. Have you ever in here needed to, or you had a dream or a vision, you had to taste in your mouth that you wanted to go home and fix something to eat? You didn't want to go out and buy it, you wanted to fix it. I know everybody in this, but there are some that you just had a taste for it, because if you had went out and bought, it wouldn't taste the same. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know I'm talking to some cookers here. And then the rest of you, maybe you wanted something, but you needed it to be cooked a certain way from a certain person. And you just had that taste. And when you got home, you went home to look for all the ingredients. You opened the cabinet. And see, I'm that type of person. When I finish preaching, when I get home, I'm ready to eat right then. And I don't want to do nothing else. So it's hard to have to leave sometimes, because when I get home, I'm ready to eat. And so what happens, you look in the car, the cabinets, and you're looking for everything. You pull some of it down, and there's some of it is there, but then there's always one thing that you say, did I forget it? When I went to the store last week, did somebody move it? Because you need it. And in order to get the taste that you desire, you have to have all of the ingredients. See, half of the ingredients don't give you the total taste of what you desire. Help me, somebody. I'm going somewhere. And so you're looking for it, and you can't find it. And after a while, you start opening everything. And then you start opening your mouth and say, have anybody seen my this? Where's my vanilla at? Somebody move this. Somebody move it. And then what happens, and after a while, you become a little frustrated because you start questioning where it is. And then that doubt comes in your mind that if it's missing, it begins to kill your desire that is going to come to pass. Or y'all don't hear what I'm saying. In other words, here, the taste that you have, it begins to deteriorate because of the frustration. You feel like your dreams, your ambition for it has now become less, and less. All because somebody have moved one of your ingredients. You can't find it. You don't know what to do now. And some of us are like that today. It's because we don't have everything that we need for it to properly be made. And frustration have set in. And so now some of your dreams are gone. Your desires is gone. But yet you still trying to make everybody else happy. But now you said there's no happiness for me. When I look here in the text, I look here in the text at the Gospel of Mark, and as Mark is dealing with this one particular man, he had no dreams, no vision. His ambition to be around people is gone. They always say, if you want to be successful, you need to hang around some people that are successful. This man here had no successful people to hang around. Because in the category that he was in, Father, go here, look at Mark. Before Mark really gets in, and Mark really starts off that Jesus was a servant. Mark gets right off in here and say that John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. That he was baptizing of repentance for the remission of sin. Mark gets right in it and said Jesus Christ went to him and got baptized. Mark said that the Spirit of God sat on him, the clouds opened, and the voice of the Lord spoke to him. Now, if I'm going to look at this text, I want to show you something. Here is that when you are trying to do what God says, I want to show you something in the text that's very important, is that your mission, what God wants you to do, that when you get ready to do it, what you go through before you do it. Jesus Christ here shows us this in Mark chapter 1 verse 42. Look what it says. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. But if you go back up to verse 11, it says, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But then go back to verse 10. Look what it says. And straightway coming up out of the water. That means when Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water. He saw the Spirit of heaven open. And the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. That's sort of what that tells me is that when you obey God, the Spirit of God comes inside of you. I want you to understand something, that when you get on the team with Jesus, when you're on God's side, I want you to understand that immediately, God help me somebody. Look what it says here in this verse 12. It says, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Understand is that after the Spirit of God that sat on Jesus, the Bible says immediately the Spirit of God driveth him into the wilderness. Y'all don't hear me. Man didn't make him go into the wilderness. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. And what happens is, if you're going to accomplish anything here on this earthly place that God wants you to, you have to be a follower of the Spirit of God. It means if the Spirit of God will take you some places you don't want to go. Oh, y'all don't hear me today. And so what happens is some of the things that you're going through is because you decided to follow Jesus. God, help me somebody. But can I tell you that following Jesus will pay off? Not at the wall. Right now, it's paying off because you're following him. You're not in the wilderness because you're bad. You're in the wilderness because you're following the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is taking you in the wilderness. God, help me somebody. I wish I had a praying church for about 15 more minutes. Yeah. The Spirit of God take Jesus in the wilderness. Anybody going through a wilderness experience? Watch this. You say, Lord, why am I going through this wilderness experience? I'm reading my Bible. I'm fasting. I'm anointing myself with oil. I'm going to church. I'm sowing my seed. Why am I in this wilderness experience? It's not that you're in it because you've done something wrong. You're in it because the Spirit of God leading you in the wilderness. God, help me. See, it's only people that think because you're in the wilderness experience that you've done something wrong. It's only people that look at you and begin to judge you when you're in your wilderness experience. But I come today to tell you it's not because I've done something wrong. It's because I decided to follow Jesus. And following Jesus means you have a cross to bear. So Jesus, he went in his wilderness experience, but Mark says is that while he was in the wilderness experience, when this wilderness experience, he said he went on a fast. Now, whenever you go on a fast, it means you separate your body from something so your spirit can be fed. Can I tell you something? That while he was there on his fast, the devil also came. The devil will attack you on your fast because the devil know that you're not only with Jesus, but you're trying to get closer to Jesus. Y'all don't hear me. Not only are you reading your Bible, but you're trying to live out your Bible. So while you're trying to live out your Bible, you have to understand that the devil is going to shop in your wilderness experience. So he shows up. He shows up to the Bible. The Bible here in Mark does not really get deep down into it. But we'll have to go to Matthew for that. But when in Mark says, he skips over the, to everything that Matthew is saying instead of breaking it down. He says that the devil shows up. And when the devil shows up, he also says that the angels of the Lord showed up and ministered to him. God, help me somebody. So that lets me know here that because I'm like Jesus, that whenever I'm trying to do everything that I can to be possible, to do the right thing. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. That's why I have an advocate between me and my God. But because I'm trying to do the best that I can I get somebody to say, I'm trying? Tell your neighbor, I'm trying. Tell your neighbor, I'm trying. I'm trying. I mean, don't slap me. Don't push me. Don't think you can do anything to me because I'm trying. I said, I'm trying to be like God. Ain't God, baby, so don't. So look what he says. He says, and after this, he says, after this, the minister, the angels of God showed up to minister to him. Mean that when it shows up to minister to you, it means it shows up to just let you know everything gonna be all right. When the Spirit of God is ministered to you, it helps you deal with some of the things that you're going through. Oh, God, thank God for the ministering of the angels that are sent there by God. Anybody understand? You got angels around you, baby. You got angels. Because if the angels of God was not around you, you'd be messed up worse than you ever been in your life. God, help me. But there's angels around me. I know that there's angels around me because I should have been dead. That drunken driver should have hit you. And not only that, but that when you were driving, somebody ran in the street, somehow, some way, you were able to hit your brakes and your car normally slide, but it stopped. God, tell me, the angels of God is around you. Some of y'all don't understand that today. But some of you can really be messed up if God didn't send his angels to protect you. Not only are they protecting you, but they're protecting your spouse. They're protecting your children. Because some of your children that's out there in the world that's living any kind of way, it could have been them that was on the news that you were watching the other day when the six got kicked. It could have been one of your children, but the angels of God was watching over. Okay. I look back at the text and say, it says immediately after this, Jesus Christ gets out and he begins to get the word that John the Baptist now is in prison. John the Baptist is in prison, and now Jesus said, now it's time. The kingdom of God is at hand. Other words here is that after you go through your wilderness experience, after you begin to grow in God, to understand that some of the things that you're going through is to strengthen you, is to get you closer to God so that you can be about your Father's business. You understand now it's time for you to go out and minister. Now it's time for you to go out and tell somebody about the goodness of God. The Bible says that immediately after that, Mark says here that he began to call his disciples. He called a couple of his disciples, and you know Peter had to be one, Andrew had to be one, James and John had to be one. He calls them, and the Bible says that when he calls them, I want to skip over because I want to go back to this thing. It said they went into the synagogue, and he began to talk about his Father. He began to talk about the kingdom of God. And I want to go down, then I'm going to go back up here. In this text in chapter 1, it lets me know here that in chapter 1 also, the Bible says here that Jesus Christ begins to deal with them. First of all, he's up on the mountain preaching. Matthew said he's on the mountain delivering the word of God, telling them how to live and how to carry themselves. Prior to that, and even on the mountain, the Bible says that he took those that were sick and he healed them. Peter even said that he went into Peter's mother-in-law's house and she had a high fever. And what he did is he healed her from her fever. Oh God, watch this. I want you to look at this thing here. He said, and he came and took her by the hand and lift her up. And immediately the fever left her. Oh, God. But I want you to understand something. You know, what was so magnificent is that when he came and took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, he lifted her up. I want you to understand is that she was touchable. Anybody could get by Peter's mother because she had a sickness that was not going to go to everybody else. So she was touchable. God, help me, somebody. And the Bible says that not only this, they brought many to Jesus that had demonic spirits. And the Bible said that he healed them from their demonic spirits. Y'all hear me on that? He healed those that had demons in them, demon possessed. He healed them that had demon possessed. He healed them that was sick, those that was messed up. He healed them. But when he came down from the mountain, the Bible says, here come a man with leprosy. Oh, God, help me, somebody. Now, I want you to understand something. You know about leprosy. We preached on it. We talked about it. In this particular case, it was different from Peter's mother to me. It was different from everybody else that he had healed. Because what happened is that when Jesus see this man that had leprosy, understand leprosy, you have to be quarantined. You have to be separated from society. You couldn't be in the city if you had leprosy. Oh, God. Now, not only could you not be in the city if you had leprosy, but you couldn't even be on the same road with those that were poor, those that were blind, those that were whole, those that were begging for money. Leprosy folk was worse than the lowest of the low. God, help me, somebody. But because even the poor folk, those that are unfortunately, you have those among us. Do y'all hear me? Other words here, that when Jesus came down, there was a man that was untouchable. It means here that the leprosy was a bad disease. That means that your skin was white. It had types of sickness and fluid coming from your skin. If people would get by you, they would be considered ceremonially unclean. I don't know about you, but we don't want to be around people. When you go to the doctor, they'll tell you have to put masks on. They'll tell you that if you in their presence and breathe up that air, you can catch what they have. Understand this man here that had leprosy. The Bible says that when Jesus came down, the man that had leprosy, he was separated from everybody. Watch this. It wasn't that the city put him out. The people in the city, he was ceremonially put out by the preacher. The preacher told him, according to the law, he could not be around people. God help me. Have you ever been one of those that was separated from people? Oh, God, there's two forms of untouchableness that I want to get to. There, the one form of untouchable is that if you are sick, nobody else can get by you and touch you because that sickness will rub off on them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But when somebody's got a bad cold and they're sniffing and sneezing and you know their throat is itchy and you know they're coughing, and there's a point that influenza sets in, and then bronchitis sets in, pneumonia sets in, and you try to keep your distance. Help me, somebody. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But because the minute somebody coughs, you say, oh, God, I don't want to catch that. Can I get a witness here? Now, y'all acting like I'm telling a lie, but you know what I'm talking about. I see everything from up here. And understand this thing here is that if they're in that position, you try to turn your head, or you shake your hand and you reach in your purse real quick and you pull your stuff in there and rub. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Why are they trying to act like they don't know what I'm saying? I'm just telling the truth. Oh, God. And what happened is because, you know what you can catch then? He was untouchable. He could not be touched. And so you had folk that was out there in the city. And then you had people that was on the outside of the city that was laying whole, that they were paralyzed, they were begging for money, but they was in a group together. But then the one that had leprosy, he had been placed way from the one that was in bad condition, because nobody could be by him because of his leprosy. Y'all don't hear me. It means he was a lonely man. Can you imagine how lonely it is when nobody hugs you? Nobody tells you they love you. They love you. No, nobody tell you thank you for just being who you are. That's loneliness. Y'all don't wonder. He was lonely on the outside of the low of the lowest, having leprosy. Now watch this. Not only that, but then if anybody saw him, they would know he had leprosy because of his skin. But not only because of his skin, if anybody else saw him, he had to holler out before you got to him, unclean. God have mercy. Can you imagine unclean? Every time somebody see you from a distance, you have to holler out, unclean. God have mercy. I wish once it was set, no, I don't. That everybody who sinned, God have mercy. If anybody walked by or came towards them, you had to holler out, unclean. Can you imagine what we'll be saying this morning? Unclean, 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 unclean. Because leprosy was a form of sin. Oh, y'all don't hear me, church. But what we do is we judge folk. God, have mercy. And see, what happened is that if his skin was not turned white so you could see his face or his hand, and he had on a blouse or a garment, if his chest was white, he had to still holler out, unclean, to let you know what you couldn't see, that he was unclean. God, help me, somebody. Oh, God, and we have folk like that today. That are unclean. You can't see it, but they're unclean. Oh, God, help me, somebody. Watch this. Can I go a little farther here? In the text, the Bible says here, is that when Jesus Christ, the Bible said, that after he preached in the synagogues throughout all of Galilee and cast out devils. Now, that's important that I want you to look at, because as I go in verse 40, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him. Now watch this. Understand that when he came down, this leper sees him and preceding him. In other words, he's begging him. He's pleading with him. Oh, God. And he goes down on his knees to talk to Jesus. Watch this. I want you to understand something. Now, some way, somehow, we miss this. Because how is it that he was able to talk to Jesus and he was considered unclean? Because according to the law, that any time you are untouchable, nobody is supposed to be around you. So when Jesus come down, you have to understand that the crowd that was with Jesus, when they saw his face or they heard him say unclean, they stepped back. God have mercy. Oh, what happened to walking with Jesus now? God, help me, somebody. See, when it comes to help somebody, you stop walking with Jesus. When it comes to giving a helping hand, you stop walking with Jesus. Jesus is taking you here to help somebody. But if I've got to help her who didn't like me, I stop walking with Jesus. Come on. I'm talking to somebody here. If I've got to help my mother-in-law who talked about me all the time, I've been married to her son, but you want us to take some of our money and help her out, some of y'all stop walking with Jesus. I know I'm talking to somebody here today. You want me to help your children that when we got married, they talked about me, they disrespect me, but you want me to take my money and help them? You stop walking with Jesus. I know I'm talking to somebody up in here. Oh, God, you mean to tell me we didn't save the poor this money, and now you want us to help somebody who's in jail that don't want to help themselves? You stop walking with Jesus. I know I'm talking to somebody. Hello, church, you ain't got to say amen. Just hear me out. And the doors are still always open. But I come by today to tell you, folk got to stop walking with Jesus when it means you got to do something for Jesus. Can I tell you something? You lose out on what the Lord really want to do with you because you stop walking with him and start looking at the folk instead of looking at Jesus. And so they step back, they step back. They stepped back because he was unclean. And they was afraid of becoming dirty. And they was walking with Jesus. How can you walk with Jesus being afraid at the same time? Y'all don't hear me. Why is it that you call his name and plead the blood of Jesus and then still afraid at the same time? The last time I checked, the Bible tell me that's double-minded. That the last time I checked, that's like a person that's lukewarm. He said he'll spew you out of his mouth. Yeah. You can't be blessed being afraid to tackle something. Now, and Jesus is with you. God, help me, somebody. I can see if Jesus wasn't with you. But if Jesus is with you and you're afraid to tackle something, and you got the God of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords with you.
Oh, God.
Now watch this. They stop. They step back because they didn't want to catch leprosy. But Jesus went a little farther and he stopped. And the reason Jesus went a little farther is because Jesus said, now I need to get by myself. Since nobody else don't want to be with me, he said, I'll be by myself. God, help me, somebody. And so he steps up there and he says, he stands right there. Everybody else is gone. And Jesus says, sometimes it does good just to get you by yourself. He said, I had to get you because I know that you're untouchable and you got folk that really don't want to touch you. They don't want to hug you. They don't want to love you. They don't want to treat you right. And listen, some of them will act like they love you in front of people, but when they by themselves, they ignore you. You don't hear me, church. Because you'll find folk up in regular Baptist church that will love you to death at church and see you somewhere and ignore you. Go down another aisle because they don't want to run into you. God, help me, somebody. Oh, God. And then my problem is, why would you ignore them? It takes me to another point. You got so much mess in you. You start judging and talking about them and really don't know nothing about them. And you go all the way around to keep from speaking to somebody who you say the lack of a friendly, help me, somebody, last search, and then get somewhere and ignore another child of God. So Jesus here said that this man was pleading. He was pleading. He was saying, Lord, 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 have mercy on me. They was, Lord, I need your help because nobody else can help me. Nobody else want to help me. They have separated me from their club. They have separated me from their private cliques because they said I'm untouchable. God, help me, somebody. I don't have enough money to hang out with them. I can't eat at their restaurants. I can't ride in their cars because I'm untouchable. Folk are untouchable to some because, can I go here? Because of their skin complexion. They're not light enough to hang around with us. They're not dark enough to hang around with us. And some of you become inferior of your own skin complexion. That you say, when I grow up, because the way they mistreated me, I'm going to marry somebody lighter than me because you don't like your own skin complexion. You start judging each other by their neighborhood. This ward is better than that ward, and this ward had money and that ward didn't have money. Untouchable. God, help me, somebody. And because of all that foolishness, it has us separated from each other today. And I come today to tell you, we need to cut out all of that foolishness. And we need to come together and stand together. If I can help somebody come from where they are, help somebody. Because one day everything that you have is going to be gone. Because Solomon said, everything is vanity.
Oh, God.
So look at what happened. So the text says, here in verse 41, it says, he said, and he came the leper beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou will, thy cans make me clean. Now, I want you to understand this thing. He says here now, I don't have a problem believing that you can do it. He said, but if you will. Lord, he said, if you will. I don't have a problem believing that you can deliver me. I don't have a problem that believing that you can fix all of my situation. But if you don't mind. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He said, I believe that you can do anything. Now, he said, I am the untouchable, but I believe that you can heal me. He says that, but if you don't mind having compassion on me, if you don't mind showing me the love that I've been searching for, that I've been looking for, and I can't find it in my sister, I can't find it in my brother, if you don't mind holding me, propping me up, telling me that everything's going to be all right. If you don't mind. He said, I know you can. I know you got all power. I know that you can heal folk. Watch this. If you can take a demonic spirit that's in church. Y'all don't hear me. Understand, he was so untouchable that he couldn't even be like a devil and come to church. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Look in the text. The Bible says somewhere around chapter 1 and Mark, all the way down from 21 to 26, it talks about when they went in the synagogue, there was a man in there that had a demonic spirit in him. Y'all don't hear me. It tells me that the devil even come to church. Help me, somebody. But he was so untouchable that he couldn't even come to church. So church came to him. God, help me, somebody. Isn't it good to know that when you can't make it, he'll come to you? Isn't it good to know that when you're left by yourself, he'll come to you? It's good to know when you're by yourself crying and you don't know how you're going to make it, he'll come to you. You don't have enough strength to come to church because your heart is right, he'll come to you. He said, I know that you're untouchable. I know you can't be around nobody, but I come to you. And the reason why I come to you is because I'm about to get some glory out of this in front of everybody that's with me. Everybody said you'll never be clean. Everybody said you'll never get on your feet. They said you'll never get in the crowd again. They said you'll never make it back to the city again. They said you'll never get that promotion again because you slipped and you fell down. But the devil is a liar. The harder I fell, the more stronger I'm going to get up. God, I wish I had some folk up in here that said, I shall rise. I'm sitting down there, but I shall rise. I'm on the ground now, but I shall rise. I'm at my lowest point, but I shall rise. I'm untouchable now, but after a while, I'm going to rise. And so look at the text, look at the text. The text said that even the one that with the demons, the Bible tells us that those that had the demons inside of them, that in the church God healed them. Can I tell you something? That everybody that's in here, that God will deliver you. But he goes back into this man that is untouchable. Now, can I tell you something? There's another form of untouchable I want to go through before I finish up here. There are some people that think they're better than others. That think you untouchable. God help me. There are some people here that think that they the great I am and that I'm untouchable. You're so untouchable, baby, you don't want to hug nobody. Yeah. You're so untouchable, you come late to sit in the back because you don't want nobody to get close to you. You're so untouchable, baby, you go early and you get in a spot so nobody else won't come that way. But I come today to tell you, you are touchable. It may not happen now, because after a while you keep acting like you all that, God will touch you. He touches everybody, baby. He knows how to touch you, when to touch you, and where to touch you. You don't hear me. God can touch you. Can I get a witness here? So they're all you high and mighty, thank you all crystal and glass and diamond.
garments, you can be touched. God, help me, somebody. I don't care who you are, where you are, what your occupation is. You can be touched. Oh, God, I would rather for God to touch me at my lowest point than to touch me when I'm on top of the mountain. You better get your attitude together. You better be grateful and thankful and stop acting like you did it all by yourself. You better stop not remembering where you came from, baby. Because all of us came from a little stove front place. All of us came from a little house down in the valley. All of us came from a struggling mother and a father. Don't you ever forget where you came from. You can be touched.
Watch this. And so when he goes in, he sees him. And he says that if I will, if I can make me clean. In other words, he says, I know that I'm untouchable. And I know that I'm on, not only on the outside of the city, but I'm way down the road. And Lord, he says that whenever somebody see me, I got to embarrass myself and holler, unclean. Have you ever been like a man with leprosy? That when folks see you, they begin to judge you because they begin to look at your clothes and they even get inferior of you. And because just to make sure that they look at you and say, her hair ain't rubbed, they try to rub your, God help me, I'm trying to stop this. They'll rub your head to see if there's any tracks in it. God help me, folk will do you like that. Girl, is that your real, girl, that's my hair. Really, girl? They try to play that thing. Y'all know. I ain't trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to tell it just like it is. Baby, if tracks fix it, it's all right. If tracks don't fix it, it's all right. Whether you have tracks or not, you still a child of the Lord. He made tracks for those who wanted tracks. And those who don't want it don't have to get it, baby. Just look good. If you got short hair, fix it up and come on out to the Lord's house. If tracks gonna make you feel good, put some tracks up in here and came up and girl, swing it, baby. But swing it in Jesus. I wish I had some real folk up in here. See, y'all ain't being real. It don't matter, baby, if you got new nails, false nails, gel nails, add-on nails, white tip nails, a butterfly on the end. But baby, don't let it stop you from praising God. If you got to hold your hands up like this, you won't break your nails, baby. Don't let it stop you from your praise. Can I get a witness here? And don't wear nothing too tight, baby, so you can't wiggle. If you got your tight dress on, it's all right. Wear your tight dress. Make sure you have a little room so you can say, Jesus. You ain't got to tear it up. You ain't got to accident it. I come to give God some praises. I come to worship God up in here. I need some people to get loose so God can bless you. Because God can't bless you if you too sedated. Because some of us are too sedated in the Lord.
But this is what he said. I'm almost finished. He said, I'm untouchable. But the Jesus says, this is the first thing that Jesus does. Look what Jesus did. The Bible here in verse 41 said, and Jesus moved with compassion. Can I tell you something? I thank God that he loves me. Oh God, you don't hear me. All of that don't love you, all your haters that don't care about you. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on the untouchable. Can I get a witness here? When people have separated you and told you, make it out of your circumstances, Jesus will come down and say, I have compassion on you. In other words, he said, I love you enough to show up in the valley where you are. I love you enough to show up on West Bank. I love you enough to show up in Slidell. Can I get a witness here? I love you enough to show up in New Orleans. He said, I love you that much when nobody else will come down your road. He said, I come down your road because I'm gonna have compassion blessing on you. I wish I had some folk to understand that all of us were like this leprosy man. And because all of us were like this leprosy man, I needed God's compassion. I needed him to love me enough to take a old wretch like me. Oh, filthy-minded church folk. Oh, dirty-mouthed church folk. Oh, hardly heart church folk, and have compassion enough for us to come all the way down from heaven's throne, put on flesh and skin and get beat and rip all night. That's how much compassion he has for us. Can I get a witness here? The text says he had compassion for those that was untouchable.
Oh God, watch this. He said, and Jesus moved with compassion. Now, this is what he did. He put forth his hand. Now, the reason why he put forth his hand is because the man had enough sense to be a little distance from Jesus. While everybody else went back, Jesus stepped forward. But because he knew that he couldn't just grab Jesus, he began to worship God on his level. Y'all don't hear me. He said, I'm a distance, but I'm going to worship you from over here. Because if I worship you from over here, I know you're going to come over here. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Wherever you are in your life, your circumstances, I dare you to begin to believe that God will come into your zone and fix your situation. God, help me somebody. He had enough compassion that when he began to have his compassion, the man was still saying, Lord, I believe. Y'all don't hear me. I believe I'm going to get out of it if you will. I believe you still have the strength if you will. I believe you got all power if you will. The Bible said he reached forth his hands, meaning that the man was not upon him. The man was still at a distance. But because he stepped out on faith and came, Jesus came to him. Watch this. It said he reached out his hand and touch. Oh God, have mercy. Wait a minute, there's a problem now, because this man has leprosy. God help me. Ain't nobody supposed to touch the untouchable now, because the untouchable is too dirty. But the Bible said he reached out his hand and he touched the untouchable. Can you imagine how he felt that when Jesus touched him, the emotion that came in his heart? Nobody haven't touched me in a long time. Oh God, I wish I had some help in here. Nobody told me they love me in a long time. Nobody hugged me the way you hugged me, Lord, in a long time. Some folk love hug me, but they really ain't hugging me. Some folk tell me they're gonna pray for me, they really ain't praying for me. But Jesus, you touched me. He felt something when Jesus touched him. Can I tell you something? Many theologians and theologians say that when Jesus touched him, it healed him. That's not what the text says. He touched him, first of all, to show the crowd that Jesus can touch anybody. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, help me somebody. He touched him to show the one with leprosy knew that he loved him enough to touch him, and that his power was beyond sin. He touched him because he wanted him to know the first thing I do when I touch you is emotions begin to get funny inside of your body. Have anybody ever told you they loved you? Have anybody showed it by giving you a flower and it wasn't dead? Help me somebody. He touched him because he needed somebody to get in his zone. He touched him because he had been out of the city too long and he had nobody to talk to, so he touched him first to let him know you are touchable. You don't hear me. He let him know here that I'm touching you because you do have leprosy and you pronounce untouchable, but Jesus came in town to touch you to let you know I'm gonna fix your problem. He ain't fixed
it yet, but I got my hands on you. You don't hear me. He ain't turned it around, but his hands are still on. Oh, God, help me. I wish I had some church folk up in here to know that the Lord's hands is upon you. God, help me. The reason why I can get up in the morning is because his hands is upon me. The reason why I can go about my way, because his hands is upon me. Is it anybody here? No, the hands of the Lord is upon you. I thank God that his hands is on me. I thank God that he got his hand on my shoulders. That the devil trying to kill me, but who's got my hand? It's telling me everything's gonna be all right. He ain't changed the situation, but to know that his hands is on me, it's already changed. Can I get a witness here? Is it anybody can sleep tonight? Because God's hand is upon you. I can sleep when my children get to acting up and doing wrong. I believe they're going to be all right. Because the hand of the Lord is still upon them. Y'all don't hear me. You can be having a bad day. But when the Lord's hand is upon you, it lets you know he's about to turn your day all the way around. Is there anybody in this church today? Thank God for the touch. Touch my ankle, God. Touch my knee bone, Lord. Touch my thigh bone, Father. The pain ain't gone yet, but if you just touch it, I know after a while it's going to be all right. The reason why he touched you, to let you know, just keep on believing. After a while, he's going to fix it. The Texas, after he touched him, he said to him, I will.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
I will do what you asked me to do. I ain't done it yet, but it's a confirmation. You asked, now I'm asking you. But I need you to believe me in the answer. You, y'all don't hear me. When I read the Bible and the Lord says he'll fix my heart, he'll take care of everything, he's giving me my answer, and it ain't even done yet.
Y'all don't hear me.
He said I need some believers to believe in the touch and the answer from the Lord. If there's anybody here that need an answer from the Lord, it's in the words of the Lord. He said, you'll never be forsaken and never left alone. Didn't the Lord say it? Because the man of leprosy needed to know Jesus was going to be with him from here and for now. Is it anybody here believe the Lord is with you, but you still got financial problems, but you believe that Jesus is with you and your children still acting up? He said, I can and I will. What would you do, Lord? I heal your body, I fix your home, I take care of the church, I watch over the children. He said, I do it all by myself in the midnight hour, on the deathbed of afflictions, in the operating room. Lord, watch over me when I go in the surgical room. I will do what I said I'm going to do. The Bible says, when he opened his mouth, he said, be thou clean. The Bible says, after he told him to be clean, his leprosy departed from him. He touched him first. He told him he'll do it. Then he spoke it down. Some of y'all in the middle of the touching and the speaking that is done. Can I get a witness here? He's already touched you. And he told you that
give up yet. That he said be done. It's about to take place. Some of y'all still on the touch. He ain't told you you'll do it yet. But if you get in your word, it'll say I'll do it. I'll fix it. I'll turn it around. He said I'll touch the untouchable. He said go and tell nobody what the Lord has done. But go back to the priest. But he said, wait a minute. He told me not to say nothing. But I can't help it. You don't know. I like a know what the Lord has done for me. He said, don't tell nobody. I was trying to make it back to the priest. But I saw somebody that never touched me. I have to brag a little bit. Look at me now. I know you talked about me, but I'm not bragging on myself. Jesus, he fixed it. Is there anybody here know how to brag on Jesus? Won't the Lord fix it? Touch by the untouchable and touch the untouchable. Ain't the Lord all right? He touched my body. He touched my mind. I thought I couldn't be healed, but he healed me anyway. He spoke words in my ears and told me, just say thank you. I wish I had some folks to look over their life and say, Lord, thank you. I don't know why you said thank you, but some of y'all know why you said thank you. Some of those things are private things, but Lord, thank you. Some of y'all ought to be screaming because thank you. He fixed it. If some of us knew why you were saying thank you, we'll lose our relationship. But Lord, thank you. It didn't come out. Thank you. You fixed the problem. Lord, thank you. You touched me, Lord. You spoke to me, Lord. You turned it around. Ain't it all right? Is it anybody here? No, the Lord is all right.
Go show yourself to the priest and don't tell nobody else. But it's difficult not to tell somebody how good God has been when nobody else understood you. You were so messed up, but he came in and he touched you. He turned it all the way around. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving Day ain't enough for me to give him thanks. You ought to start now before Thanksgiving Day telling the Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. He's been good, church. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. Lord, thank you. When they said I'm going to get fired, you touched me. And then when they did fire me, you still made a way out of no way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You ought to have a thank you in your mouth. Won't he fix it, church? I know I got some believers in here that believe that he'll fix it. And I don't know about you, but Lord, thank you. When I have no money, I still ain't. Thank you. When I thought I was going to lose my house, you still fixed it. Thank God. You ought to be in a praise. You ought to be in a praise. Thank you. The Lord fixed it for you. He turned it all the way around. And I'm just thanking you. I
being disobedient yet. Might not make as much as I used to. But God knows how to fix it, baby. Thank you. I thank you, Lord. Everybody abandoned me. You were still there. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. The doors.